They're supposed to be accountable to the people, right? But even then, Augustine reminded me that the hunger strike had to happen because there wasn't really any other way for them to get these results in our democratic system.
We started speaking with, elected officials, slowly trying to tell them that this isn't fair for people who believed and trusted the city. And the hardest part was, throughout this journey, a lot of officials just kind of wrote us off.
So this was really one of my favorite things about this victory. It shows that your political power doesn't really depend on your vote. It depends on your actions.
John Ray, are you telling people to stop voting?
No, Syl. You know that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying that that's not all there is to it.
Got it.
Like, these medallion owners, they didn't just vote their way out of their debt, Many of them literally couldn't. So they found other ways to participate in the political process. They tried direct action, coalition building. They started to really get organized. And they started to strengthen those friendships that they had with generations of drivers that existed already in their community.
That's fair. And I think there's a lot of people who put a lot of emphasis on elections. Mm. But what I'm learning from this hunger strike is that it was the final act of a 2-year marathon by drivers, putting their plan together, building up their squad, and getting the right elected officials on board.
Exactly.
So when it was time to strike, everyone was united around the same strategy, and they were ready to put the word out.
Yeah, and it's that whole process of collaboration that I think really made this hunger strike so effective. It showed how taking action in our democracy can go way beyond voting.
One thing that I will always remember, how powerful it felt being with other organizations. We're all just working people just trying to get their fair share.
That was Augustine Tang, and that does it for today's show. Again, thank you to both AZI Media and the podcast Self Evident for that amazing story. You can find out more information about both projects on our website at radioproject.org, and we'd love to hear from you. You can leave us a comment or visit us on our social media. On Facebook, we're Making Contact. On Twitter, we're Making_Contact. And on Instagram, we're Making Contact Radio Project. I'm Salima Hamrani. Thanks for listening to Making Contact.
This is Judy Berry from Earth First, and when I'm in Portland, I listen to non-commercial community radio, KBOO, Portland. No compromise in defense of the truth.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Engineering Committee meets on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Than just survivors, tradition, dreams that I've been chasing, ambition, breaking my old ways. My hope, my strength, my people. My heart goes out to the land. Through all the noise, we're peaceful. In this world,
hello. Welcome to an extra special Rose City Native Radio. I'm your host, Jack Malmstrom. This is a show where we highlight the amazing Indigenous femmes of today and yesterday. Since time immemorial, Indigenous women have been on the front lines of everything. We were a part of everything, and we continue to be a part of everything and help lead our people into the future. So we'll be hearing a series of female native musicians, spoken word poets, activists, leaders in our communities, and more, just having ourselves an uprising. And so with that being said, we're going to start off. So started off the show here with Mariam featuring Superman with Native. Going to bring it over to a good hype song to get us all in the mood as we listen and learn from today's broadcast. So this is Angel Hayes featuring A Tribe Called Red with A Tribe Called Red.
In the booth of the tragedy end. Switch up the team at the magic begin. Told all you haters I'm in it to win it. Way back when them losers were letting me in. All of these bitches is mad at me, so money appear, now they magically flow. Honestly, really can't pay it no mind, because spending that time means I'd rather be broke. I'm out here living my passions and mo, witnessing pieces and passed through my soul. Nothing can irritate masters, like literally showing them sadness can turn into growth. Haters gon' hate when you winning and shit. Dumb for these bitches, they tend to forget. I'm out here yelling, look at me now. I was both on the ground, now I'm stuck in the club. 14 whole hours a trip out to Spain.
The Hood and the Shoni, otherwise known as the Iroquois, and the all my indigenous people.
I'm talking back home, the Iroquois nations. Land claims placed us on reservations. Tried to erase us, confining our spaces. Too much hating, self-medicating, and sedating. Yeah, I'm mad at the white man. Y'all are walking on stolen land. Your forefathers are known to me as slaughterers. Your fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, and daughters. Your heroes are known to me as villains. Responsible for genocide and mass killing. That's why I put up a middle finger on my hammer. Throw up the peace for the Wolf and Deer Clan. I ain't a Navajo, Blackfoot, a crow. I rep the Iroquois nations for the next seven generations. Ain't a Navajo over Seminole. I rep the Iroquois nations on the Indian rap sensation. Indigenous lyricists. Indigenous lyricists. Indigenous lyricists. Indigenous lyricists. I'm a tilted and hairy, your new favorite strain. Not waiting on salvation, I don't fear any pain. Elevated, not sedated, no flight to my plane. Constantly contemplative, I fight for indigenous gain. It ain't a comeback, I ain't no pioneer. My native roots go back thousands of years. But I've been on Brooklyn stoops for over 20 years. And I still wanna clap back for the trail of tears. Don't mistake my lack of instigators for fear. I'm here to loot the narrative, abolish stricken barren. I'm here not mute to prove to you, we're looking back and staring. My ancestors, I made it through a genocide and famine. So please respect my need to breathe and chill with all the clearing. Indigenous lyricists. Indigenous lyricists. Ain't a Navajo, Blackfoot, a crow. I rep the Iroquois nations for the next seven generations. Tell them. Ain't a Navajo or a Seminole. I rep the Iroquois nations. I'm the Indian rap sensation.
Soul shadow. Sacred black, earth tainted, red blood, red tainted. My brown blood. Take it down, all of your white fangs. Cross paths, twisted arms. Y'all trying to erase our lives, but we got this down. Y'all dripping out here, and it ain't gon' last. Y'all slipping out here, and we calling you out. Y'all slipping out here, and we calling you out. Even as the water was scarce, even as the forest was cut. As the mountains were burned,
all my indigenous Seminoles, Blackfoot, Crow,
that was Dio Gandhi with Indigenous Lyricist. And before that, Angel Hayes with A Tribe Called Red. We're going to get real educational here, folks.
Our next hula is entitled Kulukulu Vai Maka o Kalahui. Mele Aloha Aina, or Sovereign's Lament. This title translates as follows: tears streaming down the face of the nation.
Noka hai kala unu ku uwa aloha. Nolili uwo kala ni ka huwa opuni. Mo I poni I ala e ka haku. Mai kumu kahi a hiki ile hu.
Falsely accused of conspiring of the counter-revolution, our queen, the Iwakalani, was arrested and imprisoned here at Iwakalani Palace. Her home across the street at Washington Place was ransacked from top to bottom, just as the palace was following the overthrow 2 years earlier. Her papers, diaries, signed petitions against annexation were confiscated.
Hehe ala kahana kamikanele hai puleho I hai lukula mai pilivi ikaleo hahe kela po ekole au kapiji.
In the old days, Only certain individuals could handle royal belongings under penalty of death. Hence, this blatant disregard for her status was offensive and humiliating.
Alo iku u makake ike aku ike ku meha meha ika poan uwi heva ika ili o kupulani makala nai luna iolani hale Alo iku u makake ike aku Ike ku meha meha i ka poan Pui hewa i ka ili o ku ulani Makala nai luna i olani hale
Lili'u was allowed to leave her scant living quarters to step out onto the upper veranda of the palace during the late night hours. It was during those quiet moments that she thought of her grieving nation and of her niece, the lovely Princess Kaiulani, Hawaii's last hope.
During this time, Liliuokalani's niece, Kaiulani, was sent word of the overthrow of the kingdom and traveled to America to speak with President Grover Cleveland about denying the annexation of Hawaii. The U.S. Senate did not proceed with the annexation, however, they did not restore the monarchy to power. Liliuokalani was placed on house arrest after a stash of firearms was found in the palace gardens. Although she denied any knowledge of how the guns got there, she was still placed under house arrest and forced to give up her title as Queen of Hawaii. She fought for the rights of her native people of Hawaii and will always be remembered as the last sovereign monarch of the island of Hawaii. Princess Kaiulani's health soon deteriorated, and at age 24, she passed away. In this song, Le no Kaiulani, it speaks of her grace and charm, and the expectation and love that the people of Hawaii had for their princess. In 1985, Wilma Mankiller became the first principal chief of the Cherokee Nation. She served three terms and led many community development projects. She helped establish tribally owned businesses, helped bring water to the city of Bell, Oklahoma, and also helped the tribe build a hydroelectric facility. These projects brought men and women of the tribe together to work for the common good. In 1998, President Bill Clinton awarded her with the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Her book, an autobiography titled Man Killer, A Chief and Her People, became a bestseller. She was Miss Magazine's Woman of the Year in 1987. She was inducted into the Oklahoma Women's Hall of Fame and also received the Elizabeth Blackwell Award. In 1993, she was inducted into the National Women's Hall of Fame. In 2010, Wilma passed away at the age of 64. In 2013, a film called The Cherokee Word for Water tells the story of the Bell Waterline Project that helped launch Mankiller's political career. It was also the start of her friendship with her future husband, Charlie Soap. Here's the trailer for that movie.
It started with the return of one Cherokee woman, Wilma Mankiller.
You know anyone who could help me with the housing regulation?
Who's that guy?
Charlie Soap.
Your plan is to ask the people to dig 18 miles of water line by themselves?
But we need someone who knows the community out there.
People out here in Bell, they're not much for meetings. How long do you plan to stick this out?
How long do you plan to stick this out?
Times when we care the most are the hardest times to get right.
Are you shutting down the project?
We've had plenty of failed projects in the past.
The greatest need here in Bell is water and housing. We have a plan that will bring a water line into Bell.
One way or another, I guarantee you that little project of theirs is gonna fail.
And something's not right.
These people here care more about politics than solving the problems of the people.
People in Bell are getting pressured for working on the water line.
Cows feel a big storm coming. They hid away from it. Buffalo, put his head down, face that storm.
Asked him if I have the authority to make personnel decisions on this project.
Mm-hmm.
You're fired.
Fire in a hole!
Maker, thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for giving us what we already have and for what you're putting in front of us right now.
You asking me out on a date?
Yes, Charlie, I'm asking you out on a date.
I was wondering when you'd get around to it.
Get that equipment to hell off my land!
Get over here!
It is a struggle, but we're going to make it through because you're with us.
No one from Oak Ridge has signed up to work.
You know, we sure could use your help over at Oak Ridge. Now, if we could just come together like we used to, Gadugi.
Ama, Atihini.
Shabuji.
déjà changé à Nijinu Jaange.
In 1989, Charlene Teeters was a native student at the University of Illinois. One fateful day, she decided to go to a university basketball game.
I got tickets to the game, and I tried to prepare them ahead of time of what they were going to see there. You know, it's, you know, they have this Indian mascot. As you know, they wear paint. Some people wear feathers. You know, they have war chants. They have, you know, just try to go through all the things that they would experience there. So, you know, you just have to ignore that, you know, to just enjoy the game.
Illinois, baby! Yeah, Illinois!
When the chief came out, and I'd never seen him before, didn't know at all what he looked like, what he wore. You know, I just heard that the chief comes out and does billed as an authentic dance. And he came out wearing that buckskin, really a beautiful buckskin, wearing what looked like real eagle feathers all the way to the ground. And of course the fans go into a frenzy, and all around us there were these people standing in their seats, yelling, the chief, you know. And it was, you know, my kids, you know, just sank in their seats. I saw my daughter try to become invisible. And my son tried to laugh. And with me, it's a sadness that still won't leave me. But that sadness turns to anger just like that. And it still makes me really angry because I know they still do that. And I know that they're hurting other people when they do that. And I knew that I couldn't be here and not address that issue. My children know who they are. They're not confused about who they are. They know they're Indian. They have been taught to respect the person who has earned the right to wear an eagle feather headdress. What I saw in my children was a blow to their esteem, and it still makes me angry.
That was a clip from an interview with Charlene Teeters in the documentary In Whose Honor, a documentary about Native mascots and the effect on Native students at the University of Illinois. Charlene and her fellow Native students began to protest the sporting events at the school, holding signs that said, "Indians are human beings." In 1991, she became a board member of the National Coalition on Racism in Sports and the Media, holding demonstrations and marches outside numerous sports stadiums across America in an education effort on racial stereotyping. In November of 2014, she attended a rally with 5,000 other protesters to protest the Minnesota Vikings and Washington football team. She addressed the crowd with many other longtime Native mascot fighters, such as Tara Huska and Winona LaDuke, and she continues her fight to this day. Coming up in April, she will be protesting the Cleveland baseball team and their logo, Chief Wahoo.
We are not stereotypes. We are not those things that they put forward, those objects. We are the human beings, because when you translate the names that we have for ourselves, they translate to mean the human beings, the real people, the original people, the first people, or simply just to our humanness in some way.
Everybody in Cleveland loves the
Indians! Everybody loves them some Indians. Love you some Indians. Be the Indian and not the cowboy. Throw on a war bonnet. Tell me it's fashion. Tell me how imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Go to your local truck stop. Buy some dream catchers made from China. Hang them on your rearview mirrors of your Jeep Grand Cherokees, your Pontiacs, your Winnebagos, and as you drive down I-40, your vehicle will catch the dreams roadkilled by manifest destiny. And this whole time, where your radio chimes, this land is your land, this land is my land. Love you some Indians. Honor them by making them mascots. Turn them into cartoon characters. Costume yourselves in crimson paint. Use the blood off of redskin. Smear it all over. Cover every inch. You are Indian. Add big black eyes, big smile, and white, white teeth. Don't forget the fake feathers. Cover your skin. Don't tell me it doesn't come with privilege. Cover it. Hide like you're ashamed of pigment, like it separates you from the norm. Tan that hide. Work beneath suns. Make it so scarlet it becomes purple in the shade. Add feathers. Add bows and arrows. You are Indian. Now dance. This stadium is your bonfire. You are Indian. Practice your tomahawk chop. You are Indian. Welcome the Braves that have a higher enlisting rate in our armed forces. Welcome the Kansas City Chiefs as they make their way to the field for the halftime spectacular. Welcome the Seminoles as a ghost of Osceola haunts the Enfields. Washington Redskins, don't change your name. Instead, hashtag Redskins Pride. Make social media our battleground. We all know that Indians don't have Twitter accounts. We still use smoke signals. Applaud the Chief Wahoo's bright white chompers as it casts you a reflection on how to love you some Indians. Go paint the town. Double coat over history. Whitewash the red bricks of the reservation. Let's have Indian days in our school. Use November to teach our students the turkey dance with color construction paper, headdresses, and teepees. Now go home. Wash off the paint. Go back to your thinking that you honored your team. Back to thinking that you honored the Indian. We are only costumes. Back to thinking that you only find us in Western and Disney films. Go back to thinking that we only exist in history books. Go back to thinking that all of this was just fun and games. Now shake my hand and ignore how your fingers lasso around my wrist, tying us to our ancestors, yet we still survive. Now tell me how you loved you an Indian.
Sometimes I say, what would Nelson do? You know, talking about Mandela. What would Mandela do? I mean, you look at the situation of, you know, South Africa with the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. You look at, you know, the president of Liberia, the first woman president of an African country. Ellen Johnson, she said, I believe in redemption. There's two sides. One side is the apology, in which the perpetrator says, what I did was wrong, and I would like to make amends to you. That has not happened. And the other side is the offer of redemption. Because, as Mandela said, is that the perpetrator also carries this weight of the crime and becomes his own victim in that dynamic of having done something egregious. And so in that guilt, the perpetrator is not healthy either. So the process of apology and redemption, or forgiveness, yeah, is a mutual healing process. I believe it takes many levels. And, you know, I mean, the best story I know of that is today, this story, which is, you know, is not essential to your film, but the Pawnees were driven from their homeland in Nebraska. And with them, they took their sacred foods that they grew, their pumpkins and their melons and their beans and their corn. And they moved to Oklahoma, and they could not grow them. And their sacred seeds dwindled and dwindled until they had very few of some of those varieties. And then one day, a descendant of the settlers in the Pawnee homeland near Kearney, Nebraska, called the Pawnees and said, "We would like to grow your seeds. Would you let us?" And the Pawnees deliberated long, because they had very few left. But they sent those seeds back to Nebraska, and the seeds flourished. And what the Pawnees told me was that the seeds remembered the land they came from. And in that, there was both an apology and a redemption. And 2 years ago, they had a Pawnee homecoming, Welcome Home Pawnee Days, in Kearney, Nebraska, and 8,000 people came to welcome the Pawnees home. And so in that story, you have that corn is more than a food. It is a history. That seeds have spiritual meaning. And that corn in itself, though, needs relationship to humans. You have the loss of that sacred relationship, and the need in itself of those seeds for their land. And then you have people who make history through their redemption.
Break the cycles of oppression. The gifts to my world as I witness the actions. I see the kindness, respectfulness, and old soul wisdom. My love and I grounded. Nothing can stop us. Our family is the circle pushing out with the collective. So if we want to make a change, we must learn how to swim again. To understand the water is to understand the sun. And to ignite our power, we must collect to the power of one. Cultivate my freedom, true responsible awareness. And by turning up the soil, we see that we're dreams and bear resentment. The reason why only how we plant the traditional way is to harvest our decisions to revolutionize each day. Plant the seed. Plant the seeds.
to leave the land alone. We are stronger when we band together, and we're standing up for the water. Don't poison the future away. You've gotta have a soul. Mother Earth protects us all. If you treat her with disrespect, then what message have you left for your children and their home? In the river is our sisters and our brothers. We are camping out for each other. We are stronger when we band together, and we're standing up for the water. Don't poison the future away. How can you take and not appreciate the soil? Don't let this black snake contaminate our drinking water. This is for our sons and daughters. Sisters and our brothers, we are camping out for each other. We are stronger when we band together, and we're standing up for the water. Don't poison the future away.
Don't you know that we live in this world and we hear you? word, and we feel every word. Names are wrong when they make us a joke, and they take our culture away.
Silenced and erased from history's recorded time and place. As we step back through our ancestors' paths, through the womb, the trees, the rivers, the sacred fire, we find that the land and the people are one and the same, and that the spirit and blood of our ancestors are within us and shall never.
I'm going home, going home. North Carolina is crying in my soul. Creator, I'm reaching out to you. Under the earth, blood of Saruta nation was free. I hear Nigerian chains. They say are buried real deep. Tobacco fields, trail of tears, stolen people on stolen land. I'm going home.
I think that Justin Trudeau is making an effort. I gather you don't feel what he's doing is worthwhile.
Well, have you seen how much teenagers are going missing in Thunder Bay? You know, there's white supremacy, obviously. You know, that's what's going on. You know, that young boy. Yeah.
How can he be blamed for that? I mean, you don't think that anything he's doing is helping the situation? Is it Is he an improvement over Stephen Harper? I mean, what talk record is it?
Excuse me, did I just hear you correctly? How can he be blamed for that?
No.
Excuse me. Right Don't now. Speak to us that way.
Stop right now. You do not speak to us that way. We are human beings, and the way that you're speaking to us
is not acceptable. No, stop it. Stop it right now.
We don't want you here. Can you please leave?
Step out. Step out. Then I don't want to hear from you.
You have no right.
You don't speak to us like that.
Very simple question. Yes. Can I answer?
And this is the problem, the way you communicate.
I'm not insinuating anything.
No.
I'm looking for information.
I'm not going to argue with you.
I'm not arguing.
Stop.
No, stop. Stop. You need to stop. You need to stop. Stop. You're a guest here, and you don't even know how to speak to us. You don't even recognize the tone in your voice and your delivery. And we're, and no, you're done. You're done. Next question.
How do you think?
You better be respectful.
I'm being totally respectful. I'm asking how Justin Trudeau's record compared to Stephen Harper's record. Do you think he's improved the situation? I think that's what Trudeau is asking.
We have a holistic genocide happening here.
Don't speak on behalf of Julie.
Could you just answer the question, please?
I can speak for myself.
And I can speak for myself. You know what, white people? You've had your voice here for 524 years. 524 years you've been visible, white lady. You've been visible for 524 years. Look how fast your white man comes and steps up for you. Where is everybody else to come and step up for us? I have a right to my voice. I'm still fighting for my voice and my visibility. And I'm telling you, right now, there has been 524 years of holistic genocide on Turtle Island. We're the ones that are dying. It's not you that is dying. And as far as how Justin Trudeau is doing, one of the things that we need to keep in mind is we're asking the United Nations to help us. That charges of genocide, a war against humanity, war crimes, and a crime of aggression be laid, because your Liberal Party was also responsible. Every party, your every governance that has been in power, there's been a war conflict of Indian Residential School, 60 Scoop, Indian Day School, and Millennium Scoop. None of your governments have clean hands. All of your governments have blood on their hands. None of you are different. You haven't changed because you haven't started your healing journeys. The moment that we have our voice in our backbone, you want to shut us down, and you think you're privileged to disrespect us. The moment we tell you, because of your colonial mindset and your colonial way of being, your white privilege, your white fragility, you can't take our truth. Look how many people came to bat for you, white lady, and you're a guest here. Without us, you'd be homeless. This is over.
Aboriginal women make up 4.3% of the female population, yet in 2012 they accounted for 23% of murdered women.
We're seeing the same overall overrepresentation of Aboriginal victims here as we are in the rest of the country.
Jacko's niece Maisie and her friend Shannon left to go to a party.
They never came back. The grassroots has long called for a national inquiry.
In order for it to be meaningful, it would really have to be led by the people.
The Harper government has always said no.
Across Canada, people realize that this is a problem that we've got to stop sweeping under the rug.
We stand in solidarity calling for a full national public commission of inquiry into the issue of murdered and missing Indigenous women in this country.
The Prime Minister has refused a royal commission. Why not a parliamentary inquiry, Mr. Squire?
Just how many Aboriginal women are actually missing or killed in Canada?
There's something wrong in Canada if Aboriginal women have to live this fate.
It's time for us to acknowledge this crisis and for us to act.
It's long past time we address the reasons why Indigenous women are five times more likely to be killed than other women.
Almost 1,200 Aboriginal women and girls have been killed or gone missing over the past three decades.
The gruesome discovery of Tina Fontaine's body in Manitoba's Red River.
Will the Conservative government stop embarrassing Canada on the world stage and at least today agree to cooperate fully?
I don't know what you have to be taken serious. I think the only time you're taken seriously is when someone is murdered.
We'd always heard about things on TV, you know, but never really realizing how that would impact us until it happened to our family.
It's our Aboriginal communities that have been searching for our own and really trying to, you know, get some justice.
I've had to hitchhike myself and it was because I had no money, right? You wouldn't put yourself in a position of danger if you had money.
It's a big barrier in a lot of communities, and hitchhiking becomes a part of life.
Our lives are entangled with the women who've gone missing and been murdered over the years.
You know, it can't be a secret. We have to talk about it.
If a young woman is feeling victimized, you know, who is she going to trust to go to?
I don't think that First Nations in general think that the RCMP are someone that they can go to for help.
So who do we trust, from the police to the judges to the sworn witness?
It doesn't just affect the family, it affects the whole community. And from there it affects, you know, like there's people all over the world that it is affecting.
As a leader, I think that it's my responsibility to ensure that I share my story, because yeah, all it takes is one person to hear that story, and it may change their lives.
You know, there's going to be a day that I hope, not very long down the road, where all women will be protected, all women will be safe.
She was a mother and my sister, and she was my best friend, and yeah, we just really miss her, and I still miss her, you know.
Thank you for joining our celebration of Native women here on KBOO Portland. If you're interested in more Native American music, news, and issues, you can tune in Thursdays at 6 p.m. for Rose City Native Radio. I've been your host, Jackie Malmstrom. Thanks for listening.
With our brothers and sisters, we stand and fight. With a drum, a song, this precious chains of time. This is the true reckoning, the human awakening. Together, brothers and sisters, I will no more. together, brothers and sisters. Are